Good morning.
Oh, hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So it looks like we have, I know Melissa is new to the group, but not new to Folio. So thank you for being here. We're so excited. And I see a few other newer names. If you want to say hello or say hi in the chat, it would be great. We have a couple items to discuss today that are continuation of the last meeting we had, but we'll try to give enough background so that if you weren't able to attend, it won't seem like super. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Callie.
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. And thank you, Melissa, for offering to take notes. That is so awesome.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I don't really know what's on meetings. The first meetings of that you've attended, you don't really know what's going on. So you might as well. You might as well just,
I find it
sit
helps
back
me.
and listen. Yeah.
Okay, great. So welcome. This is the linked open data sig. We meet twice a month. I always mix them up. I think it's the second Friday and the third Tuesday. It is all located on the meetings page, the parent page here, and I'll put this in the chat. Just in case you need it. Nancy and I co-convene this group. Laura Daniels and Chris Long. Hi, Chris. We're co-convening this group. When it first restarted, it is sort of a evolution of the entity management SIG, which existed a couple of years ago and then was restarted somewhat recently. So we use this Zoom link with the community default password. If you use some of the invites that are downloadable, just make sure that you're using this link, the Open Library Foundation link, and not a Cornell link. I actually made that mistake this morning and signed in there. So I have to update it, but this is the link we use. I thought for housekeeping, there's just two things really. One is to confirm some changes I made to the priorities list for the product council, and the other is to see if it would at all be possible to change our Friday meeting time, but I'm not super confident we'll be able to do that, but I thought I'd just check in one more time. Anything else, folks want to add to housekeeping? Okay. So let's look at the dashboard. So, is everyone familiar with this dashboard and what it does?
Yes.
Okay. So each SIG has a section. We had in our section just one ticket, and it was, I believe, this one. No, was it this one? It was one of these two. Nancy, do you remember which one by any chance? Oof.
Not off the top of my head.
I don't think it was one. It was definitely one related to I'll have to look back at our notes. But essentially, what I did was I added the ones we'd been discussing as a group to higher up on the list. And the ones we spent less time discussing or ones we still had questions about, I moved further down. So the first one I have is UX prod 5227. And this one is about being able to perform a search, oops, for a third-party application starting in inventory. So many of us in this group work with external data stores that aren't closely integrated with Folio. And we're kind of noticing these issues with user experience and workflow and where searching happens and where mappings can be kind of made most effective. So I think the easiest way to understand some of these is to look at the screenshots. And Tiziana from ShareVDE and @cult wrote this one, and the next one we'll talk about. They are in draft form, but you can get a sense for what this might look like. So in this first example, the dropdown is searching the share cluster knowledge base by title Harry Potter within Folio inventory, that you can preview the resource and you can see its ID added to the record, and that you would be able to configure this search so that you could search an external store like Sinopia, Wikidata. I'm not sure how Alma would work unless they mean the community zone, or I'm not sure. But it could be a variety of stores, assuming, of course, that the data is all open. So that's the first one. I put that higher on the list because it seemed like a good first step to then build on for this second draft issue, which is the ability to not only search that description, but then pull in that data. And the language here is capture an entity present in a third-party application, which I think is, oh, and Charlotte worked on this one. Presented by Tiziana. If you want to see more, you can look at the notes there. So this one, I think, just focuses on the source being Folio, which is interesting. But the instance are a HRID coming from Share Family, the identifier being tied to the source data store, and the ability to import it. So we have to work out some details with these, but I think these to me sounded more in line with the discussions we had been having, as opposed to these last two. So this one is import BibFrame to RDF. Doug wrote this one, I believe, a while back. I don't know where dates are on these. I
You
think.
can see the dates if you go all down to in the right pane. So
Oh,
December 2023.
okay. So it's been open for a while. December 2023. So it says currently we have the ability to import MARC records and transform the metadata into corresponding resource descriptions for production. The system must also be able to ingest RDF, specifically RDF employed by the Library of Congress for modeling its BibFrame 2 vocabulary. So we know that BibFrame 3 is on the way, but I think the idea here is to import BibFrame. The questions I think we had were basically the logistics and finer points of this. What is actually imported? What profile is used? How is it maintained? Where is it stored? How is it stored? Importing RDF to create new resource descriptions. So I think we still need to know a little bit about this. It's unassigned. BibFrame beta. Did I miss anything that's important to call out about this issue to anyone's eyes?
So, I'm just wondering,
Isn't this already happening for Library of Congress when they did their demo? Wasn't that the round tripping they did?
I don't believe so.
Okay, then I am misremembering then.
I think it does a round tripping using BibFrame Lite.
You can do Windows. You can import the bitframe into Mark.
Okay, yeah, maybe you're right. It was what was his name who did the demo at the WolfCon? Was it Nathan? Yeah, it was probably round tripping Mark. He was demo. I'm.
Yeah, they round trip Mark
Yeah,
at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know that Alvaro has mentioned at a meeting not too far a while ago that they were working on this. So, but I don't know if that actually has any specific Jira issues, but they were working on the imports, he said
Yeah.
then. So I don't know what Citation is doing with this currently.
So, is there any linked Jira tickets to this feature? So it's a little above.
Think quite a few.
So it looks like it is very much in progress. All these defined, so all the tickets listed here will be defining that given UX Bot feature.
Okay.
Did he and he marked it in progress, right?
No, it's open.
Okay. What about writing a comment in the feature asking Alvaro, it looks like you're working on this based on all the closed tickets. Shouldn't this feature be listed as in progress? Because it's isn't it? Oh, he
Okay,
has
this has
several.
actually been added to a lot since we started looking at it. I think most of these have been linked to it because before there was not all this, looking at the fact that we had had all this question about this. I don't believe the linked work items were linked when we were just looking at this. So maybe they are now. Maybe he's working on that part too. So. But it should also be assigned, right? Isn't, I mean, if they're working on it, somebody is assigned to somebody, right?
Typically, it's assigned to the product owner. So
Yeah,
Alvaro probably should have it assigned to his name.
here, I'll put something in Callie. I think I
Yeah,
know.
and maybe also is you know it's for Trillium. Okay, that's a release date.
Okay.
But it's not just open because open means you have written up all the underlying Jira features, the Jira tickets, but you have not begun the work. And this looks very much in progress. So that's good to see.
Okay. So,
Yeah, that was my impression
you've
as well.
done a great deal of work on this.
But I say it's all good with the linked data sick having an eye on this and maybe helping Alvaro a little with his Jira administration because, yeah, it would be fine if then the feature was developed in all and is complete. So we have not just bits and pieces, but we have a complete functionality.
So marked as in progress, is that correct?
The status should be definitely in progress with all this closed tickets and yeah, one is blocked and one in QA, but and one in review and so. But
And
then,
an assignee named.
yes.
Okay. I just wrote that in as a comment form. There we go.
Can I suggest one more change? If you go up a little. Then it's important that he has set the so the fixed version It needs to say Trillium, otherwise his ticket is not on the Trillium dashboard.
Where is this? Oh, the
Yeah,
fixed
version.
version?
Yeah,
Yeah,
fixed
right here.
version. Yeah, can you edit that?
I
No.
cannot.
No, okay.
Let's see if I can edit my comment. Okay.
But I wonder if this one. No, this doesn't have it either.
So
Is
he
that
needs to add it to the fixed
the
version,
fixed version?
Trillium?
He needs to also add Trillium, because the Trillium, so all development teams' Trillium tickets are listed in a dashboard, but his will not be showing up because he has not
Listed.
filled.
Okay, so and add Trillium to the fixed version so they will be listed.
Yeah, so you
Or
don't, you
they've.
both need to fill in the release and the fixed version. Yeah, it's a little.
Where did you see Trillium, Charlotte?
So I see that in the third, so the third pane with the details. If you scroll a little down, no, that's the second pane.
This pane?
So the third pane where it says open, and yeah, that pane. Scroll down a little.
Oh, okay.
Trillium.
Thank you.
And then he also needs to fill in the fixed version as Trillium.
Okay.
Okay, so I put one, I said, since you've done a great deal of work on this, and the status be in progress, and assignee named, and then the release and fixed version, and I put Trillium as a question mark, but whatever, also need to be filled in.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you,
Great.
Charlotte. I think that will make a lot of things on that clearer to all of us.
So I felt a little odd putting two drafts as a higher priority, but do you all agree or disagree? Should these, are these higher priority? I don't want to do that simply because they're being worked on. Do we feel like our answers, our questions were answered about how this works? I think we talked about having him present on this. Am I misremembering? It's entirely possible. It's been a while since Wolfgang now.
Yeah, I think we were confused about parts of it, I know, and I don't think he understood what we were asking exactly. So,
Maybe we can just add in our Slack channel, ask him and say, now we have these two tickets on the priority, and we can see the citation team is doing a lot of new and great looking work, if he will come and present it for us. Isn't that?
sure.
That sounds good.
Do we keep things on a priority list while they're being worked on, or is that a waste of a vote, sort of?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So as in the PC, I think you can see right now we have a max of a little handful of features that is actually in a better state than just being open and draft. So I think we should definitely keep them, so we can see that there will be progress on the things, because otherwise, if we start move them out of the priority and fill others in, then we will constantly just be, and it's the collective remembrance will maybe disappear. So I would definitely keep them, and then when ideally all priorities are fixed, then the PC should start another round of collecting priorities, I think.
Okay. And it might be too soon in the conversation, but this group still needs to come to the council to highlight these five priorities. Is that right, Charlotte?
Yes.
Or somebody
Yes.
from the group?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I guess it would be Callie.
We haven't done that yet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because we hadn't met really. Kelly and I just changed being conveners, so this is a
That makes sense.
yeah. So I think we can present for the PC also. We do not need to wait for Alvaro to come and present his work. So
No.
we these tickets are identified from during conversations in the linked data sig, and we do not need to have five. Other teams have also just a smaller number.
So I would say, on the idea of having the first two, I think these are the priorities of the linked open data sig and not of necessarily of EBSCO. So I think, I mean, not that it isn't a great thing they're doing, obviously, but so I think we're okay being like this. And if the product council asks, we just say, well, we're looking at linked open data specifically, and these are our open platform, complete open aspects. So that is why these are higher priorities, even though we're very happy they're working on this other one. I think that's fair enough.
So maybe in the Slack channel, the linked data Slack channel, we can suggest some times and dates and then just get you on the agenda through Jeremy. If the times work for you, it's was it 10 Eastern Standard Time or 11? 10 Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays.
What was it? At least it's now 10. Oh, good.
Is that right, Charlotte? Or you're in a different time zones?
It's 10, so
Okay.
4 p.m. our time. Let me see. The PC has a planning document. Let me see if I can find that and see if there is anything up. If maybe we can come and present the linked open data
This
six
just came up
priorities.
yesterday, so sorry. We're just jumping on it.
Do you have the list where we can see what is scheduled for the next upcoming meetings, Elisa?
Me, I could try to find it if you want
Oh,
to and
okay.
put it in the Slack channel. But don't let me hold you up either. That's
Okay, so it sounds like there are no objections to how the priorities list looks right now. And then we'll try to get on the calendar to present these and talk to Alvaro about a presentation or just some information sharing, even about what these two issues are and the actual progress of them. That would be great. Super. Okay, so I'm going to close this and go back. Ooh, I didn't want to do that. Too many tabs.
Looks like mine. And
Yeah.
then all these identical icons, and then you cannot remember which of them.
Did I open a new tab? Did I close
Where
it?
is that darn Jira ticket?
Oh, now it's authorities. Okay. And the other thing was our Friday meeting time. It's okay. Nancy and I are both on West Coast US time, so it's 7 a.m. start for us on Friday, which actually we both do fairly frequently. As long as it doesn't conflict with the day I have to be on campus, it's not too bad. And Fridays I don't typically go in. But how do you all feel about this? Should we just keep it for the sake of ease? It didn't sound like we had another alternative option that might be possible. It's certainly not preferable for most people. I'm not sure.
So I'd say this is perfect time for me, and I have another Friday regular meeting from 1 hour later, but then that's 5 to 6 p.m. on a Friday, and I have made it's an internal meeting, and I've made quite a fuss about that trying to get rid of it. Because every Friday ending at 6, that's not so fun. But
Okay, Charlotte, you have it way worse.
I don't want to do that to anyone.
Callie, I think we'll have to bite the bullet. We
Yeah.
might end up trading off once in a while. That's all, I
Yeah,
think.
that would be great.
I'll just say that finding meeting times was probably the biggest challenge that Laura and I faced. And trying to find something that worked for everyone, especially with across time zones, was just such a big challenge. And nothing worked well for anybody, I don't think so.
Yeah, if it's not truly broken, we should not try to fix it, I think. Okay. Great. Thank you for considering it either way. All right. So today we were going to hear from Wayne Schneider. He needed a little more time to prepare. I think I might have upped the ante. I accidentally called it a proposal instead of an idea. And he said, "Oh, now I have to make something formal." And I said, "Oh, that's okay. It doesn't have to be." And he said, "Oh, but it's good. I should." So he'll join us for our next meeting, which is on Tuesday, the 18th. And I've invited a few Stanford developers to that meeting. If you know anyone who might be interested in hearing about APIs or Wayne's thoughts on what we might do, please invite them. I think a big question about that is who would work on that and maybe how. But so I switched the order for topics. So today I thought we could continue a discussion we had started at our last meeting, where we had a pretty small group and we were discussing this idea of adding URIs to the inventory instance besides that source URI that we've added and will be implemented in Trillium in the administrative metadata for a full description from an external data store. So, for example, a Sinopia instance URI or a ShareVDE instance URI or something else. And this question came up, which was, should we have URIs for other fields? And so I tried to summarize our discussion from last time here, which was basically centered around our diverse and perhaps changing needs over time. Laura had asked, is this work related to the review of the inventory instance model? And I asked, at what point do we need an entities app or mod bib frame? Meaning, if we're adding all these URIs to the inventory instance record, may we not also fall prey to trying to make it more like BibFrame instead of this operational record and then just store the RDF somewhere else? I'm lately thinking like how great customizable options are, so that you could do kind of what works for you. There's a bunch of caveats there for interoperability, but so I guess the question is, what are the use cases? What do we think about this? I think we should just start from the beginning again because it was, I think there were only three of us in that meeting. So are we still interested in exploring URIs in other places in inventory? And if so, what are some examples would be nice to discuss.
I guess there might be the question of other entities that live within the instance. I mean, and it's always hard to understand what the whole work cycle, the cycle of everything would be, but I mean that all I'm meaning is within the inventory instance, we do reference other entities, and whether those should have URIs or not is a question. I don't know whether I think they should or not, but it is a reasonable question to ask, I think. I don't know if anybody really has any thoughts on that.
In general, it would be a good idea to add more URIs, and I understand the need for customizable fields, but that usually end up binding you. As you mentioned, like two libraries can't communicate records because they customize their fields crazy ways. Oh, sorry, Tiziana, I didn't see your hand raised. Maybe it was before me. I just jumped in.
Oh, don't worry, Andres. It was just to I don't know if I perfectly understood the question, but is also to clarify this. If we are speaking about how many URIs we want to add to any piece that compose the instance, I think that in the best word, we should have a URI for any data that is related to another entity or to a vocabulary, at least. So, for example, in an instance, because Folio composes the instance as a record, so many different information related to in an entity model to different entities. Having in mind the instance in Folio, I suggest to have at least the URI for the agent related to this instance and, for example, to the place related to the publisher, publisher, and so on. So any main information that relates to another entity. And in addition to this, the ability to customize feature to select URIs coming from different controlled vocabularies. In theory, this means that any piece of information should have a URI. This is not the case that we want to reach, probably, but at least with the main entities related to an instance, we should have the ability to put the URIs. I mentioned this because we are experiencing the connection between JCricket and Folio. And when you change something at work level or at agent level, the only thing that you can do is rebuild again the instance in Folio because you don't have the URI in Folio to say, okay, just change the agent, for example, the publisher. So please just update the agent, not the whole record. So this is one of the possible scope of having URIs in more than one, not only at the instance level, but also for specific entities mentioned in the instance.
Can I suggest, in order to make it, a bit more tangible, that we maybe write up a document where we list, as Andreas mentioned, what is the main URIs, and then we start out with those, and then maybe have a brutal list, because it sounds like Tatiana has many more suggestions, and then we can, we probably will need to have it implemented in steps. We cannot have so many new data properties added to it. Will probably then the Folio team or who is to do this work probably will back long back, and then we will not have this implemented the next 5 years. Write things up and make some lists and have some suggestions on how we would like to have it. Where should it be implemented in inventory? One way to do it could be to implement it in the next to the publisher data properties, but it could also be an accordion in itself. By doing it like that, then all the libraries who are not using any BibFrame would skip to be able to and would not be disturbed by it. And I can almost hear Laura say telling us that we should have a more a higher level discussion on what is the intention with inventory and should we remodel inventory totally. If we take that discussion first, then we will not get any new URI properties the next 10 years, I'm worried about. So a new accordion would probably maybe be the quickest way to get it in.
Okay, I think that does make sense, Charlotte. And if we, let's say, maybe Tiziana, we would emphasize that I would call the primary entities or something like that. Is that kind of what you're thinking, Charlotte, right? So that we start with two or three or something like that. Might be that might work, yeah.
But I like also if we can collect the brutal list so we know what's the complete work. And that might vary a little bit if you are shared VD or you are other, yeah, Synopia, etc.
And that's why it would have to be flexible to a certain extent. I mean,
But I like this use case, Tiziana, because it's a very different use case from discovery, which I think is what we had discussed more the last time we met. And I'm not sure if I think that might also be at least part of why Laura wanted to look at the inventory instance model again. I mean, it involves combing through those fields and saying, this could have a URI, this could have a URI, do I want it? Which is kind of like reviewing the model in a way. But I think the use of inventory instance for discovery, and that's why you want URIs, or I want to be able to update a field at a time instead of a full description, to me are kind of two distinct. You might make different choices. I think that. I don't know. I find it a little bit easier to hold on to than the discovery one. I'm just catching up on the chat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have been looking at that.
Andreas, could you say a little more about your language mapping?
Yeah,
Or
sure.
your
Yeah,
mapping in general?
we basically we have them as stored as URIs in our data, but we need to Sort that into codes like SWE for Swedish instead of the full language URI that we have in Libris. So we're basically just keeping part of the URI to extract the actual code for the language, which is obviously doable, but it feels a bit, it would have been better if we could also, or maybe store the URI instead of the code. It's transformed into the actual language in the interface anyways, but yeah, it would have been better using the URIs basically. And we have a lot of these. Like, could we keep an URI here? No, sorry. You need to add it as a string or a code. All right, okay. But we are progressing, I think. We
Cool, that's great.
decided to try out a new transformation language, working on this at the same time that none of us has worked with before. So that's interesting as well. Yeah, I don't know if I have that much else to say rather than that we're working on these kinds of things.
Thank you. No, that's helpful to know. Add it to our use case list in my mind, at least until we get our doc going. So that sounds like a next step is document which fields we think are primary or core that need URIs, that would benefit from URIs. And then maybe we can list some use cases, even just briefly. But maybe let's just start with the fields. And then we can review that as a group, but it sounds like we all kind of have the same idea of what those would be anyway, which is great. That seems like a good place to end on this topic. Is there anything else to add?
This is not specifically with this, with the inventory app, but I think eventually we might look at the URIs in some other areas. I'm actually and maybe just us, but the authorities app. I have noticed that if you actually link a heading, the subfield one, if you had it in your authority, if you had it there, the subfield one disappears and only the subfield zero remains. So there are sort of related things of that type in other areas to maybe look at some point. It's not a big rush or anything, but even though we want to get something that's doable and, on the immediate, but I think if we have a sort of a general view of how we want URIs to be working in Folio or whatever, that would be good as well. Something that sort of guides us at least. But what we want.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the I need to go back and try that again. I think the subfield ones get moved to a place.
Oh, did they get moved somewhere? Okay,
Yeah.
maybe that's
Well,
it.
I had the same exact reaction, and I think I was changing the view. I think it pushes it to the end. And you can't see it, which is why
Okay.
you think, no, but I should like
The
try it
secret
again.
URI.
Exactly. And Kalila asked me, well, what were your expectations? And I thought, well, first the feedback we shared was from a full group of people. It wasn't like it was my specific wish. And I think I mean, my answer would just be that it wouldn't disappear. It wouldn't seem to disappear if that we could see what we were doing, which is to me kind of obvious. But I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense, and it kind of relates to this next topic, which I know we won't have time to discuss fully, but I think it relates to Alvaro's issues, Jira issues about importing and exporting BibFrame. But the last time we met, we talked a little bit about this idea of an entities app. Kind of thinking about MARC authorities, Laura had shared that at Cornell, if they use the MARC authority app, they have to store them twice. They have to store them in a Solr index and they have to store them in Folio. And that was not a desirable setup. And I was looking at some older entity management SIG tickets, which are pretty dated. They don't reflect our current status of linked data or environment. So the question we left that day was, what is not currently solved by MARC authority? And particularly, we were thinking about subjects or people, entities, even names, but done in RDF. And so I had this like triple idea of like, what would we call it? Mod BibFrame. Well, not all of them will necessarily be in BibFrame. Mod Blue Core. I don't know if everybody wants that. Mod RDF. I don't know what is happening with the issues we mentioned on the priorities dashboard, like what they're storing or what that looks like, but does this make sense? Is this something we want to talk about in the future? Is Entities app something we would use?
I think so, yes. There's a lot of overlap. So I can't say I can picture the whole thing, and I'm sure it's way more complicated. But the overlap makes me think it's worth investigating, or at least makes me want to know more about how that would work.
I think also trying to I think MARC authority is for MARC authority data. End of story. And then if we need to store heading data from some other sources which are not MARC authority formatted records, we should have an app for that. Because otherwise it's gonna be very, very convoluted, and a lot of so then you will get functionality where 90% of that functionality in the MARC Authority app you do not need. So it's better to have more directed specific apps solving issues and not make these super complicated a lot of extra
Super
on, yeah,
apps.
super apps with a lot of unnecessary things. And I can't imagine all the bugs we will get out of that.
Yeah.
Andreas.
I think it sounds like a good idea as well, especially for libraries like us who really don't want to use MARC authorities at all. So having a way of storing locally entities somehow might be useful. So it would be interesting exploring. Nothing else.
And I'd say UX-wise, if there's done some, if there's the way to display or a nice UX functionality to adopt in the entity management app or what we would call it, it would only be great because then we are seeking UX consistency across apps, but again, have them split and be specific and serve exactly the purpose, and not a lot of extra overhead.
But sorry, but the scope of the entity editor proposed by EBSCO should not be the same. So to manage entities in terms of RDF or in any case, but focus on entities. So I don't understand why we are asking this question, because I expect that this app will be able to manage different entities, including subject, places, agent, mainly, first of all, agent, and other kind of entities proposed by BibFrame or other model, or not. It's something wrong that I don't understand.
I don't know if I understand the question.
Do you mean that these entities will be represented in the linked data editor that EBSCO are working on? Is that the
Yes,
question?
exactly.
Yeah,
So
well,
this is what I
possibly in the
expect.
future. We don't know that. What they have said currently is that instance works and hubs is what they're working on. I don't know if I would assume they have ideas about other types of entities, but I don't know.
No, but before asking ourselves, is useful to have app managing entities? Because I think the answer is yes, absolutely yes. Because currently we only can imagine to have something like an instance that is not a real entity. But in the future, if we are focused on linked data in Folio, we need to have something that makes possible to manage entities such as an agent, a subject, and so on. So the question is not, do you think we need, because yes, we Folio needs. But my question is, but this is not something that we already expect by EBSCO or the team who is working on the entity app, and I don't remember the entity app, because I know that this should be the main scope of this entity editor.
As if you say, as far as we know at the moment, they're only doing the works instances hubs. They have never, as far as I know, they have never mentioned doing anything else. I mean, they're proposing lookups. At the moment, the only link to a sort of, I mean, they link to the authority files, but in an internal for. And only internal and authority files. So the problem is there's still a lot of it is based in MARC underneath. So there's not, and even if they are thinking of that, I think they need a lot of push to do so. They need people who want it and have some ideas about it. So there's that as well, I think.
Yeah.
But it hasn't seemed to me from anything that they've said that they are thinking of that. But maybe they are. Who knows? But it would be a good thing to find out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking to just keep an eye on what they're building, because I didn't know if I don't think it will be like we're building two of the same thing, because it's not the same thing. They're not storing, we don't know what they're storing. So I guess my question was, if they can import and export RDF, what would that mean for an entities app that was built separately? And I think I just want to make sure that what we would suggest is actually something novel. I think it would be. And I think it would have the flexibility that we asked for maybe a year or two ago when we were reviewing the first the linked data app itself, right? Because we had this list of concerns, and I think the major one was that it wasn't storing RDF, if I'm not mistaken. Or it certainly wasn't storing BibFrame, which I know is a big concern. In this case, it may not necessarily be always BibFrame, right? It could be MADS RDF, could be KBB. I don't know how authorities work at NLS, but it may be something else. And so we would want some sort of RDF storage. Does that make sense? Tiziana, I think that's what I was thinking, but.
Yes.
And maybe this will tie in nicely with what Wayne wants to share with us next time, hopefully. We have about 5 minutes left. It sounds like our to-dos are to work on a list of fields that would benefit from having URIs in the inventory instance. Perhaps document use cases if we have time. We'll keep thinking about mod.
Sorry, to prepare this list of possible fields, do you will share a document in Google so that we can work together, or each of us has to propose something?
What's easier for the group? I think we can go either way. Usually we work from a Google Doc, but
I think a Google Doc would be excellent.
Yes, so that we avoid to repeat the same. Probably we agree on the core of these fields, so we can work together.
So
Yeah,
if
people
Kelly
can put
wanna
plus ones or something besides something if
exactly,
they're really excited about it.
so you can maybe put in some columns, and then you can have a column for votes or something, and then people can one, two, three, depending on
I have
oh,
an
and that would
idea.
be you have an idea, yes.
I have an idea.
So what?
We're doing something similar at Stanford with something else, and I can recreate it in a Google
Oh,
Doc. Okay,
awesome.
Before we go, there's one other thing I'd like to take up that maybe we could talk about at some point is just that I know that data import SIG is have mentioned the issue of data import. You cannot data import and just create inventory records. You can only create mark, which creates inventory. If you're something like you're importing from a spreadsheet or something like that. And they're interested in being able to do the direct spreadsheet to inventory aspect with not being so dependent on Mark. I have a personal interest in this myself, so but if there's some way we can find to support and help push along this notion, Charlotte.
So you maybe remember that index data we have done the mod inventory update work for GBV and the German library networks to support import directly into inventory without creating underlying MARC records. Right now, this year, we are. And then in the back, we have used an old legacy harvester up to now. But our developer, Niels Erik Nielsen, is working on for Trillium to redo all that workflow, be able to deprecate our use of the legacy harvester and have a fully folio compliant module. There is some things we still need to have a mod inventory update to work as it used to. So that's still in that's kept. So don't worry. I know Titiana is using it, and National Lab of Sweden is also using bits and pieces of mod inventory update. But the new work on the so-called mod inventory import will be integrated into the existing mod inventory update. And then on top of all of that, we are going to rename it. So it will be one module called mod inventory import, but still with the APIs supporting clean cut mod inventory update work. So
Cool.
I think this is really coming, and it's not defined at all in the talks with the data import SIG. This is being worked on with the GPV team.
Well, that's great.
And can I add that we have done something similar at time of the National Library of Florence, that is part of Folio community, and we developed some tools to import directly in inventory using the Folio APIs, but starting from a non-mark record, but also starting from a Unimark in that case, but pass through a different format. Anyway, is a way to import full and also as delta, so to update record in inventory without pass through the import pro tools, the import app and the source record storage, and with a delicate control of holdings and copy information, so to not change. So it's a bit complicated, it's not able to explain now. But in this case, this is not completely part of Folio. These are external procedure that BNCF is still using for their Folio processes, but they can be packaged in a way and completely integrated with Folio if you need something.
Okay, seems like lots of opportunity here. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, maybe we can add it to our agenda for a future meeting. That would be really great to learn more. I love the Harvester app. I'm a big geek for it. Okay, we are at time. Thank you all. We'll see you next time.
Bye
Yeah,
bye.
thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
So